Good morning, everyone. Good morning, everyone. Amen. It is a good morning. We're excited to be here, to be able to worship God. It's a little bit cold outside, but that shouldn't damper our spirits. We should be excited to be able to worship God. Amen. It's good to be here this morning. We were not here last week. We're at a marriage retreat hosted by the Toronto Church of Christ. So we went there to represent, show some representation from Ottawa. So it was good. We had a great time. The guest speakers were Dave and Kathy Eastman. They're our dear friends from the past. They actually were the church leaders when Karen and I were both converted many years ago. So it's great to be able to see them back hosting the marriage retreat, talking about communication and how important it is to marriage, and not just marriage, but just how important it is overall. It's definitely, there was good seeing them, good seeing the church, and also good learning from the feet of Dave and Kathy how to be able to enrich our marriages. Please, if you have a Bible, please be taking out John chapter, open your Bible to John chapter 21. I want to read a story. A husband and wife were having marital problems. The wife was wondering if her husband still loved her. The wife asked her husband, "Do you love me?" The husband replied, "Yes, I love you." The wife said, "But do you really love me?" The husband says, "Honey, I really love you." And the wife said, "But do you really, truly love me?" And the husband declared, "Yes, yes, I really, truly love you. I would die for you." And the wife said, "You're always saying that, but you never do." The premise, they're having marital problems. Hopefully they were able to get some counseling afterwards to be able to build a happy, strong marriage. We should never be hoping that our spouse moves on. When that happens, it's time to get some marital advice. In John chapter 21, and I share that because we're going to look at, in John chapter 21, where Jesus is encountered with Peter. And of course, Jesus asked Peter three times if he loved him. And what lessons we can learn from that here this morning. Before we do that, let's have a quick prayer, and then we'll continue our time studying God's Word. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for able to be here this morning. Father, thank you so much for each and every person here today. And Father, I pray that your Spirit can really work in all of our hearts, helping us, Father, to learn the things you want us to hear this morning. So that, Father, we can grow deeper in our love for you, deeper in our appreciation of the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that, Father, we'll live each and every day, Father, in obedience to Jesus. Father, thank you so much for sending him to die on the cross. Thank you that he was raised from the dead on the third day. And, Father, thank you so much we're able to have this time to be able to focus and remember all that he's done. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. John chapter 21, if you turn to verse 15. And of course, as I mentioned, Jesus lived, died, raised from the dead. And Jesus appeared to his disciples. And here is one of those times where he's having a discussion with Peter. So when they had finished eating in verse 15, John chapter 21, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John," for Jesus said, "feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus had asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, When you were young, you dressed yourself and where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." You know, Jesus' questions that he asked Peter, "Do you love me?" is different than the reason that we might ask such questions. You know, people might ask such questions, or maybe yourself. Maybe you asked that question to a spouse or someone, or maybe someone had asked that question of you. But people ask such questions because out of insecurity, needing to know that they are loved. They may not feel that the person acts in a loving way to them, and so they might have some doubts. In asking Peter, "Do you love me?" Jesus was not insecure or needing assurance. Jesus was giving Peter the opportunity to reaffirm his love and his commitment to him. You know, as a disciple, you know, we're called to love Jesus. We're called to love Jesus. Of course, he loved us first. But we are called to love Jesus, to be excited and passionate about Jesus. And this here was a life-changing talk for Peter. In John chapter 13, if you turn there with me, we're going to come back to John 21 in just a moment. But in John chapter 13, we'll begin reading at verse 36. It says, Simon Peter asked him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus replied, "Where I'm going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later." Peter asked, "Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Then Jesus answered, "Will you really lay down your life for me? Very truly I tell you, before the rooster crows, you will disown me 3 times. You know, Peter declares his unfailing love and devotion for Jesus. But when you read on, a short time later, Peter goes on to deny knowing Jesus 3 times. We see that he said one thing, but did something very different. And when we continue reading, you go to John chapter 14. You know, Jesus taught his disciples about what love for Jesus looked like. In John 14, we'll look at a few in verse 15. Jesus says, "If you love me, keep my commands." That's John 14, verse 15. In John 14, verse 21, Jesus says, "Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me." John 14, verse 23, Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching." You know, it's very clear when we look at these scriptures and we think about Jesus, that to love Jesus equals a life of obedience to Jesus. Therefore, a lack of obedience to Jesus equals a lack of love for Jesus. Now let's jump back to John chapter 21. And so we see here in this text that 3 times Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me?" You know, as mentioned a few weeks ago, when I talked about love, I talked about how there are different kinds of love when we look at the scriptures. There is an eros love, that being a sexual or passionate love. There is a storge love, that is affectionate love, usually between parents and siblings. There is a friendship love, a filial love. A friendship love, a togetherness, an emotional connection. And then there's agape love. That is a love expressed in devotion. That is the love of God. Agape love is related to sacrifice, obedience, commitment, not a feeling, and an emotion. A love that requires sacrifice, willing to obey, whether we feel like it or not. So Jesus asked Peter the first two times if he had an agape love for him. So Jesus asked Peter, do you have a love for me that requires sacrifice? Willing to do anything for me? Whether you feel like it or not, do you love me with the love of God? And Peter replied, yes, I have a filial love for you. Meaning I have a friendship love for you. You know, different commentaries share that Peter, painfully aware of his disobedience and failure, felt too guilty to claim that type of agape love for Jesus. So Jesus asked Peter the third time, this time, if he had a filial love for him. And Peter answered saying he had a filial kind of love for Jesus. And confirmed he wanted to be emotionally connected to Jesus as close friends. When we look at that, you know, Jesus was stating, you know, both aspects of love will be required. That, you know, they would be close friends. But Peter would have to do his will, even if it meant hardship, sacrifice, to the point of death. So Jesus was calling Peter to obedience and commitment, not just friendship. And he called Peter to follow him and carry on his work, the work that Jesus was doing. You know, I believe this same question that was asked of Peter is one, as we read the scriptures, that we always need to be reflecting on time and time again. When we think about Jesus asking us the question, do you truly love me? In terms of putting our love into action to follow Jesus and be his disciples. You know, obedience, if we've been a disciple for a while, we know that obedience to Jesus is the mark of a true disciple. And Peter went on to remain obedient to the Lord's teaching and to whatever it is that Jesus called him to. And his ministry involved proclaiming the gospel, sharing God's word with people, serving, meeting different needs. Peter went about doing the Lord's work. You know, if we love Jesus, it must go beyond words and beyond feelings. You know, whenever you see people who go to worship, where it is all about feeling. It is all about just having a feeling close to Jesus. But it's so much more than, as Jesus was telling Peter, it is so much more than simply an emotional feeling. It is about a life commitment to following Jesus. You know, at times, you know, when I think about and think about my love and devotion for Jesus. You know, at times I think about how difficult it is to obey. You know, this wouldn't come as a shock to my parents growing up. From the very beginning, since I was a young boy, it was very difficult to obey. You know, I was very curious. Whatever I can get my hands into, I would make sure I get my hands into it. I would make sure to test my parents' limits. Whatever I can do to test their limits. And I got into, you know, this is not the time and place to get into all of it. I got into so much trouble That's another topic itself. But I think about even as a disciple. You know, I think about obedience to me growing up was not something positive. Obedience was, you know, my parents are trying to either cramp my style. They're trying to stop me from having fun. You know, they don't know what I have to go through. And they're stopping me from doing the things that I want to do. You know, but if you're a parent, you know that, well, your goal is not to control your kids. Your goal is to, you know, protect them. Set limits simply for their own good. And, you know, it's interesting. We have a very curious son. We at times he wants to, you know, at times he wants to see where the limits go. And I remember there were times where we're like, you know what, Eric, don't touch that. So I would tell him, Eric, if we were here, don't touch the podium. And he would be like this, staring at me. And then one time he went like this. He was like, not touching this one or this. I say that because, you know, whether you're young, whether you're old, obedience is something that, you know, at times we can look at it as a negative thing. And, you know, you think about even as a disciple, though, if we look at, we can look at Christianity as just obedience. And if we look at it as just obedience, I know at times when I've looked at it, for me it'll be more so, okay, when it's convenient. When I feel like doing it, when it's comfortable, or when there are favorable circumstances. But I won't do it if it revolves rejection, pain, or if people are going to think a certain way about me. And I have to catch my thinking, because at times you could look at obedience as something that's negative, as opposed to something that's good for us. You know, it's kind of like eating habits. You know, we know there are certain eating habits that, you know, they're good for you. But, you know, it's not always as easy to do it. You know, my wife was telling me that, you know, let's try to do some different things in terms of, let's, no carbs in the family. So I have no carbs, like no bread, no pasta, no rice. And even my doctor told me, you need to have less carbs and more veggies. And then she even has this diagram. She's like, see this portion here? This is your carbs. See this big portion here? That is your veggies. And so, you know, it's one of those things where my wife's a little bit more radical than me. I'm kind of like easing my way into it. Because my breakfast involves bread. My lunch usually involves pasta or rice. And guess what? Rice is a staple for dinner in our home. When you got Jamaican family, Korean family, rice is just something that is there. Cut out fries, chips, all those things. And so we'll say, you know, it leads to healthier, happier lifestyle. And you know what it takes? It takes self-denial. In order to do those things, it takes self-denial. But why do we do those? Because it leads to healthier, happier lifestyle. You know, the same thing when it comes to, when we think about our obedience to Jesus, it leads to a happier and a healthier spiritual lifestyle. You know, love and obedience are opposite to selfishness. When we die to self and obey Jesus, something beautiful takes place in our hearts and in our lives. But self-denial obedience is something that's positive, because it leads to something great. And obedience unlocks the door to spiritual blessings in our lives. But the thing that's important to remember is that it's not about self-denial and obedience. Christianity is about a relationship with Jesus. You know, when I deny myself, it's easy to deny myself for my son. Easy to deny myself for my wife. Why? Because of the relationship out of love. It's so much natural. But when we remove Jesus and we just focus on doing the right things, and I need to deny myself, I need to obey, and not think about Jesus, that's when things become, whether it be burdensome, whether it be things I don't feel like doing it. But the more and more I center my mind and my heart on Jesus and what he has done for me, self-denial and obedience are more natural. When I don't think about Jesus and do the right things, and it, you know, it can happen as a disciple, especially if we've been a disciple a long time, we can get into the routine of things. So we can pretty much do a lot of Christian things without really thinking about Jesus. But when we think about Jesus, whatever he calls us to, self-denial, obedience, it is so much easier to do. We understand the whys. We understand that it's about Jesus and it's not just about doing this or that. And that leads to, not only do we need to love Jesus, it requires focusing on Jesus. You know, turn your Bibles, we'll continue reading in John 21, verse 20. In John 21, verse 20, Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following him. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had asked, "Lord, who is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he asked, "Lord, what about him?" Jesus answered, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." Because of this, the rumor spread among the believers that the disciple would not die. But Jesus did not say that he would not die. He only said, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you?" You know, just prior when we were reading, Jesus had indicated that Peter was going to die for the faith. That Peter was going to lay down his life for Jesus. And despite what his future looked like, Jesus told him to still follow him. And so now we've just read, after Jesus said this to Peter, Peter turned and he saw the other disciple. And Peter asked Jesus, "What about John?" And Jesus said, "Don't worry about him. It's none of your business." That's what it says in my translation. No, Jesus replied, "You know, that's not your concern. You don't need to be concerned about him. You need to be concerned about me. You need to be focused on me, not on John." You know, is that not what happens when something difficult is asked of us? When something's difficult that's asked of us, it is very easy to take our eyes off of Jesus. If we have a conflict with a spouse, a conflict with somebody, if we have challenges at home in the family, it is very easy when there are certain things that are required of us, regardless of the other person's behavior, to say, "But what about them? But what Jesus was helping Peter to understand, that Peter's love for Jesus, Peter's obedience to Jesus, should have nothing to do with anybody else except Jesus. That Peter's discipleship had nothing to do with John, the other apostles, anyone else. It was all about a relationship with Jesus. You know, you think about that if you're a parent. How you treat your kids, how you raise your kids,
have nothing to do with how your neighbor
and someone else treats their kids. How you love your spouse has nothing to do with how your neighbor loves their spouse. You know, when you go to work and you see someone who doesn't call in for work, you don't say, hey, they didn't call in for work, so I'm not going to call in for work. You know, those things are absurd. But we think about when it's, for some reason, at times when we're Christians, though, it's very easy to go, you know what? Well, what about them? You know, I've been serving, I've been coming and volunteering and helping out so much. What about that person? I don't see them coming and serving and helping out and doing this or that. Jesus, you know, don't worry about them. So, well, you know what? I'm studying the Bible with people. How come other people are not studying the Bible or sharing their faith or doing this or doing that? Jesus, you know, don't worry about them. It's not about them. It's about our relationship with Jesus. And what Jesus calls us to as disciples should have nothing to do with what our brother or sister, they are doing, they're not doing. But when all said and done, it's about our relationship with Jesus. You know, when the thing is, reality is, when we focus on people, we can rationalize our level of obedience to Jesus, our level of devotion to Jesus. We can also feel good about ourselves. I'm serving. No one else is. We can see if they are ahead. We can see if we're ahead of someone else spiritually, or if someone else is pulling or not pulling their weight. And we can justify disobedience. We can justify a lack of commitment to Jesus. Instead of looking at what people are doing or not doing, it is about looking at what Jesus has done. And what Jesus expects of us in our relationship with Him. In every situation, what would Jesus do? What does Jesus expect of me in this situation right now? What does He expect of me at work, school, and in my family? Following Him means obedience, love, serving, going the way of the cross, no matter what. You know, the same way that Peter needed to reaffirm his love and commitment to Jesus. You know, I think every time we take communion, every time we study God's word, every time we go about our day, it is about reaffirming our commitment to Jesus every single day. And remembering what Jesus has done for us, thinking about Jesus, walking in the footsteps of Jesus, regardless of anybody else, regardless of the consequences that might come, regardless of anything else, it is about loving Jesus. In order to love Jesus, we got to make sure we don't take our eyes off of Jesus, but we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus and live how Jesus wants us to live. It is about a personal relationship with Jesus that is demonstrated in a lifestyle of obedience. It is about living as a devoted follower of Jesus, living faithfully to Him, regardless of how we feel, what others do or don't do. You know, as we take communion here this morning, and as we go through our week, live our lives as disciples, let us not use other people as a measuring stick. It's not about us. It's not about them. It is all about Jesus. When we think of the question that Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me?" Our answer will be very clear, as demonstrated in our day-to-day lives. Let's live a life of loving Jesus and focusing on Jesus this week ahead. But as we take communion here this morning, let us remember Jesus as we go to our Father in prayer. Let's pray. Father, we do come before You here this morning. Father, truly grateful for the sacrifice of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we're so unworthy of Your love for all that Jesus went through. that, Father, you sent him to die on the cross so that, Father, we can have our sins forgiven, we can have a relationship with you. But, Father, it's so easy in this world to get distracted, so easy to take our eyes off of your son, and, Father, to fix our eyes on the things of this world, Father, to focus on our feelings, to focus on what other people are doing or not doing. But, Father, I do want to pray that we would continue, God, to think about our relationship with you. Father, that we'll continue to walk in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And, Father, we'll live faithful lives as disciples, living lives of self-denial and obedience because of all that you've done in our lives. Father, as we take communion here this morning, remembering your son's body and blood, Father, help us to truly be grateful in our hearts for that incredible sacrifice. And that, Father, today, tomorrow, the week and the weeks to come, that, Father, we'll live our lives striving with everything that we have to be faithful disciples of Jesus Christ. Father, thank you so much for that incredible sacrifice. Help us to always be grateful. We pray this in your son's name. Amen.